So today we're diving into a pretty incredible stack of sources out of Missouri.
Yeah, it's a big one.
It really shows what happens when, high public concern about what's going on in the sky meets, well, the criminal code.
Yeah.
We are looking at a legislative blitz unlike any other.
And it's such an important deep dive because the action here is driven by this massive gulf between the legal drafting and the scientific reality on the ground.
Right.
I mean, you have states like Utah or Colorado that regulate actual active cloud seeding programs. Missouri's focus is it's much wider. It's on large-scale atmospheric dispersal.
And as of today, December 14th, 2025, it's not just one bill.
No, not at all. We have four major bills already pre-filed for the 2026 session, and they all propose these radically different and, I mean, often highly punitive ways to ban these
Okay,
activities.
so let's unpack this legislative pileup. Our mission here is to look at these four bills, HB 2388, SB 1368, and then the other two, HB 2389 and SB 860. We really need to see what they're trying to prohibit because the stakes here, they range from, simple civil fines all the way up to felony charges.
And even the National Guard getting involved.
Exactly. So that difference is crucial for you to understand, right? Criminal versus civil.
It's the core distinction. Criminal means possible jail time and massive fines. We're talking Class C felonies in some cases. Civil liability, on the other hand, it's about monetary damages, injunctions to stop the activity, but no one's going to prison.
So we can basically split these four active bills into those two
That's
buckets.
the best way to look at it.
All right, let's start with the highly punitive ones, the felony proposals. HB 2388, the Clean Skies Act, seems like the most severe of the whole group.
It is by far the most expansive piece of legislation we've seen on this topic. It calls for a total ban on all geoengineering, all weather modification, and it explicitly includes traditional cloud seeding.
So nothing is exempt.
Nothing, except for, normal pesticide use on farms.
Yeah.
But what really sets it apart is the scope of what it defines as a prohibited pollutant.
The list is just staggering. It's not just chemicals for cloud formation.
Not at all. The bill's definition includes aerosols, radioactive materials, electromagnetic fields, and then it gets into things like genetically modified agents, smart dust, and different forms of radiation.
And who can be charged? I saw the definition of entity was also really broad.
Critically so. It's not just individuals or companies. The bill explicitly includes governments, universities, nonprofits, and this is a first in this entire stack of bills we've analyzed, artificial intelligence systems.
Wait, a felony charge for an AI system? I mean, how would you even enforce that? It sounds symbolic, doesn't it?
It raises huge questions about the practical application, but the penalties themselves are very real. You're looking at a felony conviction, a minimum $100,000 fine, and up to 2 years in prison.
And the language is specific on how that fine works.
Crystal clear. It says, and I quote, "Each day of continued violation constitutes a separate criminal offense."
So that fine could multiply incredibly fast. And the enforcement. It's also aggressive. The DNR is in charge, but they can call for backup.
Serious backup. They're authorized to enlist the Missouri State Highway Patrol or even the National Guard to enforce this ban.
That's a huge step for what's supposed to be an environmental regulation.
It's highly, highly non-standard.
Okay, what about the other criminal bill, SB 1368? Is it just as broad?
Not quite as detailed in its definitions, but still very broad. SB 1368 bans weather modification, defining it as injecting or dispersing any substance or apparatus to affect temperature, weather, or sunlight.
And the punishment.
It's similar. Violators face a Class E felony charge and a civil penalty that can't exceed $200,000.
So, two paths to potential jail time. Okay, let's switch gears. Let's look at the civil penalty bills, HB 2389 and SB 860. These are focused on money, not prison.
Right, and these two bills, one from the House and one from the Senate, they really mirror each other. They ban weather modification, including cloud seeding, but they also get very specific.
AMSA.
They explicitly ban dropping pollution or biological agents from aircraft with the intent to alter the atmosphere, or, and this is a key phrase, to harm the food supply.
Harm the food supply. That phrase really points to a specific public concern driving this, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And the consequences, if you violate these civil bills, are all financial.
So monetary damages, an injunction to stop.
Exactly. The violator is liable for damages. They can be forced to stop the activity immediately, and they have to cover the plaintiff's attorney's fees. It's all about compensation, not punishment.
And I noticed HB 2389 adds this interesting reporting layer that involves the federal government.
It does. It imposes a mandatory reporting duty. If the Missouri DNR confirms a violation has happened, they must report it to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Under the Federal Weather Modification Reporting Act.
Correct. It essentially kicks a local state violation up to the federal radar.
So we've got the punishments down. But, you know, the real story here isn't just the penalties. It's the wild, non-standard definitions they're using. Let's contrast that language with what the federal agency documents say.
And that contrast is really the central tension in all of this. Many of these provisions in the Missouri bills, they address activities or use terms that the EPA documents we have just don't recognize as currently happening.
At least not at a government-deployed scale.
Exactly. We saw this with that huge list of pollutants in the Clean Skies Act, HB 2388.
Right, with the smart dust and genetically modified agents.
Absolutely. The inclusion of those terms is a direct legislative response to claims or assumptions about widespread deployment. But the EPA sources we have, they just don't support the premise that these are being used at scale by any official government entity.
And you see that same tension in the civil bills, HB 2389 and SB 860, with the language about harming the food supply.
It's highly responsive to those specific public concerns. And we have to neutrally report here that the EPA glossary in our sources, it specifically addresses the term chemtrails.
What does it say?
It notes that chemtrails is a term some people use to, and this is the EPA's wording, inaccurately claim that contrails are actually intentional releases of dangerous chemicals for nefarious purposes.
And that public sentiment is directly influencing the legislature. You can see it in a failed bill from last year.
You can draw a straight line. An earlier bill, HB 78 from the 2025 session, was explicitly titled in its own legislative summary as a chemtrails bill.
Wow.
So this history, plus the citizen petitions we have that reference things like crisscrossing grids over Kansas City, it really shows that the legislative drafting is being directly shaped by that online discourse.
That explains so much about the pressure these lawmakers are under. So beyond these expansive definitions, what else is distinctive about the Missouri approach? Any new administrative hurdles?
This is where Missouri really separates itself from just a simple ban. They're proposing enormous structural and financial obstacles.
Okay, like what?
Take the civil bill, SB 860. It includes a mandatory bonding requirement.
A bond? For how much?
Any entity that wants to deploy any chemical into the atmosphere has to first post a bond of $25
million. $25 million, just to disperse a chemical. That's not a hurdle, that's a wall. It's basically a ban through financial intimidation.
It creates an almost insurmountable barrier. And that same bill, SB 860, also tries to structurally embed this issue into the state's environmental governance.
How does it do that?
It requires expanding both the Air Conservation Commission and the Clean Water Commission from 7 members to 8. And the new member on each commission is required to be an expert in weather modification.
So the issue becomes a permanent fixture in the state bureaucracy, whether a ban passes or not.
Precisely. And then you have the reporting requirements in the criminal bill, SB 1368. Starting in 2027, all airport operators would have to submit mandatory monthly reports detailing any aircraft they see that's equipped for weather modification.
And the state is putting some real teeth behind that reporting rule.
They are. The Missouri Department of Transportation would be prohibited from funding any airport project that harbors an aircraft like that. It uses state funding as a weapon for enforcement.
Which is similar to what we've seen in other states, like Florida.
Very similar.
Okay, so we have 4 strong bills pre-filed for 2026. But this isn't Missouri's first attempt at this. What happened to similar bills in past years?
You see this clear, almost frustrating pattern of recurring failure going back to 2023. The core idea has popped up over and over again, usually bundled into these big agricultural reform bills called the Freedom to Farm Act.
And how many of those were there?
We saw 4 different versions, SB 84 in 2023, SB 1318 in 2024, and then 2 in 2025, SB 297 and SB 15. All of them tried to ban environmental manipulation through civil liability only.
And what happened to them?
The same thing every time. They all died in committee or signed out. They never even made it to the floor for a final vote.
Why not? I mean, with all this public concern, you'd think they would advance.
The bundling seems to be the tactical mistake. The geoengineering ban was always attached to these other highly controversial agriculture provisions.
Like what?
Like stripping the governor emergency powers to restrict food distribution. And this one is just incredible. Trying to grant farmers legal immunity from liability if they just slapped a warning, consume at your own risk label on their food.
Wait, hold on. A consume at your own risk label would give them legal immunity? That's almost a bigger story than the geoengineering ban itself.
Precisely. Those kinds of controversial attachments created way too much opposition, and it sank the entire package every single time.
Which is probably why they tried a standalone bill, HB 78, in 2025.
Exactly. That was the one explicitly called a chemtrails bill. It was a focused attempt.
And its fate.
Also, sign die. It got referred to an emerging issues committee and just withered on the vine. The issue keeps coming back, but they can't get it across the finish line.
So, bottom line, what does all this mean for the legal landscape in Missouri right now, especially compared to states like Tennessee or Florida that have actually passed bans?
Based strictly on these sources, the legal status in Missouri is very clear. The state currently has no operational state law regulating or banning any of this.
All past efforts have failed, and the new bills are just proposals for now.
Correct. They have no legal weight yet. So the state's position is best described as dormant. There is absolutely no evidence of any implementation or enforcement of a state geo law because one doesn't exist.
But the legislative drive is still there.
Oh, it's very real. And it's a response to that massive public concern. You see in that 2020 Missouri Law Review article we have, which noted that all the online chemtrail content complicates public deliberation on solar geoengineering.
And by extension, hurts the legitimacy of research activities.
That's the one. So you have lawmakers proposing these severe criminal statutes, felony bans, National Guard, huge bonds, all based on legislative language that diverges so sharply from what agencies like the EPA actually recognize as happening.
It's a really compelling look at a state trying to legislate against both traditional weather modification and these unproven atmospheric threats all at once.
And it's all driven by that intense public pressure.
It's just a fascinating snapshot of how public sentiment can shape the entire regulatory environment, even when the science doesn't quite align with the definitions being written into law.
And it raises this really important question for the future of regulation. When state legislatures introduce these highly punitive felony bans with these incredibly broad definitions, how does the scope of regulation evolve when the scientific and legal worlds are so far apart?
It puts the burden of proof and the risk in a very unstable place.
It really does. And here's a final provocative thought for you to mull over. Consider that mandatory monthly airport reporting proposed in SB 1368. If that were to become law, what's the practical impact on the Missouri DNR? What do they do if they consistently get reports of zero-equipped aircraft? Or, maybe worse, what if they get a flood of reports of aircraft mistakenly identified by airport staff? It's an administrative nightmare. And that's something for you to think about as we track these bills into the 2026 session.